Today's reading comes from Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing me them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen."
Great, we'll do keep that bit of the Bible open. That's what we'll be looking at. And what we're going to do a little later on is to have an opportunity to share with one another what we've learnt as we've been through, as we've gone through the book of Revelation. It may be that you've been challenged to change something in your life. It may be that you've understood something. It'd be great to share that with one another, wouldn't it? So Freddie's going to lead a time a little later on, with open mic, so the mic's going to come around, and anybody who wants to encourage us with things that they've learned, things that God has dealt with them over, then that would be great. So just a bit of warning so you can be thinking about what to share. But let's just pray, shall we, as we come to this last bit of Revelation. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the vision that you gave John and the testimony you've given us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that we can see things that you have revealed to us, and we pray that you would make us those people who respond rightly in our hearts. Lord, help us not to gloss over the challenges that you've brought to us. Help us not to forget your word. Help us to take it to heart and to be blessed by obeying it. Amen. Well, as we've already heard, the 25th of December, Christmas Day, is on its way, and for some of us it's very exciting. For others of us, we're just panicking. How are we possibly going to get everything done that we need to get done between now and then? There's a whole list of things that need to be bought, a whole list of things that need to be done. And getting ready for Christmas can, in and of itself, be a bit stressful, can't it? But we understand what it means to get ready for a day that is coming. And if there's nothing else that we've learned from Revelation, it's that there is a day that is coming. And Jesus wants us to take it very seriously, doesn't he? Whether we would call ourselves Christians here this morning or whether we are Christians, he wants us to take this day so seriously. Have a look at verse 7. "Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." Or verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon." See, Jesus clearly reveals, he speaks from heaven to us this morning, that he is going to come again one day. And we've seen what a terrible day it will be for so many, haven't we? How it will be a day of mourning and a day of destruction, a day of horrific casting into the lake of burning sulfur. And yet for others, it's a wonderful day, a day to look forward to. And we see this in this passage as well, don't we? Have a look at verse 17. You see, the Holy Spirit is saying, "Oh, I can't wait for that day." And the bride, the faithful church, are also, because they are filled with the Spirit, saying, "Can't wait for that day." Verse 17, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,'" looking forward to that day. And Jesus wants those who hear the words of this book to respond in the same way. "Let him who hears say, 'Come.'" So the right response, if we've heard something of Revelation over the last few months, is, "Oh, I just can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait for him to come." That's what it means to have responded rightly. As we read at the beginning of Revelation, let's just flip back to it to remind ourselves all those weeks ago. Chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy," we've done that, "and blessed are those who hear it," we've done that, "and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." So really what we're considering this morning is just one simple question. Have we taken to heart what is written in this book and therefore been blessed? Have we taken to heart what is written in this book and therefore been blessed? Well, three things you'll find on your sheets. Blessed are those who keep these words. Blessed are those who have washed their robes. And have a heart for Jesus and his words by the Spirit. So I'm just going to work through those three headings. Firstly, blessed are those who keep these words. Have a look at verse 6. "The angel said to me, 'These words are trustworthy and true.'" See, the words of Revelation are words which are so trustworthy, so true, we can build our whole lives on them. So there are those who are very negative about the words of Revelation, aren't they? They're sort of reserved for nutters who are stockpiling various arms caches for Armageddon. Or they're, you know, a couple of sandwiches short of a picnic, wandering around with sandwich boards, saying the end of the world is nigh, and think that that's really what serving Christ is all about. And we can sort of mentally discount some of the words in this book, can't we? We can say, "Oh, well, you know, just, you know, that was for them back then. They enjoyed that kind of talk about hellfire and brimstone. But, you know, today we're just a bit more enlightened. We don't need to take these words very seriously." No, says John. Look at verse 18. "I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book." He's saying, don't mess with the message of this book. We're not going to sort of get a Bible out, are we, and start cutting out bits of Revelation we don't like, but we can do that mentally, can't we? We can just say, "Well, I don't really want to hear about judgment again and again and again. I just sort of snip that out." Or, "I love God's grace. I'll just sort of add that in such a way to the words of this book that I don't need to take any real attention to these words." Because, you see, what John says is that it's possible to hear all the words of this book, to have them read to us, and totally ignore them. And not take them to heart. He says, you know, we're only blessed if we take these words to heart. Have a look at verse 7. "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Not just hears or reads, but keeps. So what does that mean? What does it mean to keep these words? It simply means to live in the light of them. To live our lives now in such a way that it shows that we have believed and trusted that Jesus is coming back one day. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of looking over a cliff at the crashing waves below. Or, I don't know, some sort of view and you're sort of right on the edge of things. I don't know, there's some railings or, you know, something to stop, you know, sort of tragedy happening. And somebody comes up behind you because they think it'd be quite funny and sort of goes, like that. And you sort of heart stops. Anybody had that done to them? Anybody done that? You're really annoying. Yeah? There's that sort of hollow laugh. Very funny. As you're sort of picking yourself up off the floor. And there's a danger, isn't there, that we think that Revelation is a bit like that. Somebody who sort of likes shocking people, or people like me who you might imagine enjoy preaching these things, don't enjoy preaching these things at all. That somehow it's for sort of entertainment value or just for a cheap laugh. No, says John, these words are trustworthy and true. You've got to keep them. You've got to live in the light of these words because one day what Jesus testifies to here in this book will happen. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Soon, as we've learned, is yes, Jesus is coming back, but any encounter we have with him in life which has an impact for that day, we've got to take them seriously. Blessed are those who keep these words, or conversely, cursed are those who do not keep these words. So what does it mean to keep these words? Well, it's a bit more like somebody who you know loves you, sort of sees you just about to cross the street and there's an articulated lorry coming and they say, stop, stop, because you're about to walk out in front of a lorry and get squished. You'd be wise to trust the words of the person who loves you and to stop and put into practice what they've just told you. And similarly, because Jesus loves us, he tells us he's coming soon and that we are to be ready. Whether we're a Christian here this morning or not, the message is the same. He taught the same to his disciples. In fact, this book is written for Christians, isn't it? Primarily. He sent his angel to show his servants, Christians, the things that must soon take place. But how easily can we hear all these words and just sort of glaze over and just fail to respond to them? Well, John wants to show us how easy it is within his own example, doesn't he? Have a look at verse 8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. John, who has seen the blazing glory of the Son of Man, who has seen these visions of the final day, visions of Jesus, visions of the holiness of his presence, warnings about not worshipping anything but God, you'd think he might have got the message, don't you? But here is this angel who's shown these things to him, and what does he start to do? He's about to commit idolatry. He's about to worship a created being. And so what does the angel say in verse 9? Don't do it! I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God! Can we see how easy it is? We might have been here every Sunday, hearing every sermon, and we might have been reading Revelation every week, but still, we can be those who do not take these things to heart. And John wants to say, or Jesus wants to say through John, this message is something we always need to hear. Have a look at verse 10. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. You see, the sad thing is that in every generation there will be people in churches who hear these words and do not take them to heart. Continue to do what is vile. Continue to do what is wrong. And there will be those who heed the warnings of these words and continue to do right and continue to seek to live holy lives. So I just want to ask ourselves the question. I ask the question of myself as well. Have we taken the warnings of this book to heart? Have we taken them to heart? And we might be saying, well, yes, John, I sort of kind of have, but I just feel that in looking at all this stuff about judgment, it starts to make me feel insecure as a Christian. I don't really like hearing all this stuff about getting ready for the judgment day. Isn't it the case that if we've trusted in Christ, we are safe for that day? There's nothing that we can do that would mean that God lets go of us, is there, John? But this is part of God's grace. Have a look at the last verse. John is saying, look, this is all about grace. This is all about being ready for that day and trusting in what Jesus has done. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. This is how we receive his grace now. This is how we keep going in our Christian lives. So can I encourage us, if we haven't yet started to take these things to heart, we are resisting God's grace. We are not wanting him to bless us. We are being proud. Because this is one of the ways in which he pours out his grace into our hearts. One of the ways in which he blesses us by warning us. And yes, let's remind ourselves of how we are right with God. Our second point, blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Have a look at verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. You see, Jesus says he's coming to judge according to what people have done. And he's qualified to do so because he is eternal. There was never a time when he did not exist. He has seen everything that has happened in the universe from beginning to end. And before it began and on into eternity. He is the Alpha and the Omega, verse 13, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those, he sees throughout all history and the judgment day, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Have we washed our robes? You think, well, what's all that about, John? I don't understand What does it mean to have washed our robes? To have the right to go into heaven. Not just a sort of vague, oh, I'll hope one day to get there because I think I've done enough. No, to know now that we have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates. What does that mean? Well, let's just remind ourselves of where we've got to from Revelation chapter 7. So keep that page open. Let's just go back to Revelation chapter 7. Because we've already been told in the book of Revelation, we might have missed this one, so let's just go back and look at what these white robes are about. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, there's two things there. Yes, they are those who have, by trusting in what Jesus has done on the cross, been made clean and holy by his blood. All the bad things that we had done, we have said, look, Lord Jesus, I want you to take all those bad things, and I want you to endure the fury of the judgment day on those bad things that I have done in your body. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you please do that for me? Because there's no way that I can stand before that justice. Would you please take that from me and make me clean, wash me? And if we're Christians here this morning, we have done that, haven't we? We have trusted in what he has done. But we're not in the city yet. We are still in the great tribulation. We have to keep going. And that's why Jesus has written or revealed this book to us, isn't it? Yes, we are made clean. But we aren't home yet. We need to keep going. And so back to Revelation chapter 22. Yes, it is only by Jesus' work on the cross that we are made clean. And it's an error to think that by what we do, we can get ourselves into heaven. But it's equally an error to think that works, faithful service of Jesus, suffering for him in this life, is not part of the Christian life, because he told us to take up our crosses daily and follow him. And he's already said, hasn't he, at the beginning of Revelation, that what we do, as we were reading from John the Baptist, is the fruit of grace. In other words, we know that we have God's grace as we persevere in good works, in serving Jesus. Listen to what he said in the first few chapters. He said to the Ephesians, who had stopped doing what they first did, repent and do the things you did at first. Keep going, keep serving me, he's saying. Or to the Christians in Sardis who are not doing what was necessary, he says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Yes, we're not saved by works, but we're not saved without them either. Because by our works we show who we love. It's like that picture of a tree, wasn't it, that Jesus spoke of. Those who know him are like trees that bear fruit. You know, you don't pick grapes from thorn bushes. And if we're not feeling certain about whether we're a Christian here this morning, yes, we need to trust in Jesus, but we also need to complete our deeds. Commit ourselves to serving him, because that's how we know that his grace is in our hearts. We're prepared to embrace the cost of living for him in this world, knowing that there is victory one day. It doesn't look like it's worth serving him in this world, does it? But if we're ready for the day, we will be serving him now. And those who won't be in heaven are not there because of their deeds. Have a look at verse 15. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Can we see how grace and deeds go together in the covenant that God makes with his people? So blessed are those who wash their robes. It means we trust in what Jesus has done and work for him, waiting for his victory. And then finally, have a heart for Jesus and his words by the Spirit. But we might be saying, well, okay, John, you know, I hear what you're saying. I hear what the book of Revelation is saying. But I don't feel like serving in church with joy. It's all gone out. It's just duty for me now. You know, I don't feel like being public at work about my Christian faith. You know, I did at one point, but now it's just survival, John. You know, I'm so busy and I just can't do all these things. What's happening in your heart? Are we keeping these words? Are we blessed by having our robes washed by serving Christ? And if we're thinking, well, the heart I once had for Jesus, I don't have as I once did. Well, what's the answer? Well, it's wonderfully encouraging. Have a look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. These are all pictures of Jesus' final victory prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus is going to win. He is victorious. Don't doubt that. Remembrance Day is a few weeks behind us now, isn't it? But there were loads of documentaries about terrible oppressions of war. I don't know if you caught any on the TV. You know, people starving, longing to be fed. People being systematically shot, wondering if they will survive until victory. People longing for victory, just longing for victory. And then when victory came, just this euphoria. They're free. The battle is won. And God, by his Holy Spirit, gives us a foretaste of the final victory that we will share with Jesus. You know, we're in the battle now, aren't we? Yeah, it feels like we're battling with sin. We're battling to do the things that we know we should do. We're battling to serve at church. We're battling to stand for Christ at work. We're battling to lead our families in godly ways. It's all a battle. But do we know that heart longing that when Jesus returns, we'll be free. Free as the children of God. And that's what the Spirit and the faithful church are saying now, aren't they? Look at verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. You know, we should be those who are looking forward to that day when Jesus returns. But we might say, but John, I'm not. I just seem immersed in the battle. I'm almost just sort of buried in the battle. And what's his message to us this morning? Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. It's just a free gift. He will give us his Spirit. The one who is saying, come, Lord Jesus. Will you come to the Holy Spirit this morning and ask him to renew your heart, to look forward to the victory of Jesus? He does do it, doesn't he? When we take the time out to say, Lord, please refresh my heart. I'm just getting weary in the battle. Give me the free gift of your Spirit, who you gave to me when I first trusted in Christ. Renew and refresh my longing for that day. You know, I'm a bit of a fan of The Lord of the Rings. I don't know anybody else here, but do you remember the final scene in Return of the King? And there are Frodo and Sam, and Frodo can hardly get himself up to the Mount Doom to put the ring into the lake of burning fire. Can you see the imagery that Tolkien was using? He can hardly get there himself, can he? But what does Sam do? He picks him up and puts him on his shoulders and carries him to the brink. And even when he's fiddling with the ring and not sure whether he wants to get it destroyed, what does Sam say? Let us be done with it. Let us be rid with it. Rid of it. That's what the Spirit is to us. He's the one who walks alongside us, who carries us when we can no longer keep going ourselves, and will make sure that that thing we love, our sin, is finally destroyed. Will we ask him to fill us afresh, to give us hearts that love Jesus, that just want to be rid of sin and can't wait for that day when we'll see him face to face and sin will be done with and this world and all its battles will be done with and nothing but victory and life will be our lot? Will you ask the Spirit to do that for you today? Do you know you're thirsty? We have a God who gives us free gifts. He's full of grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with us, God's people. Now I'm just going to lead us in two prayers. One is for those of us who want to trust Jesus for the first time, and the other is for those of us who want to renew our life in the Holy Spirit and ask him to refresh us. So let's just do that now. So the first prayer is for those, you can pray this in your heart. You may want to ink it in a little later on today on your own before the Lord. But I'll just read it and then you can pray it with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for showing me of your return to judge injustice. I know that without you I will not be forgiven. I will not make it to heavenly glory. Please forgive me for not worshipping you as I should and living for myself. Please wash me, cleanse me and forgive me. I praise you that you took the punishment that I deserve so I don't need to. I come to you and ask for your Holy Spirit to give me a heart to serve you and worship you. So I'm just going to pray this now for those who want to respond rightly to the words of Revelation and trust in Jesus for the first time. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for showing me of your return to judge injustice. I know that without you, I will not be forgiven. I will not make it to heavenly glory. Please forgive me for not worshipping you as I should and living for myself. Please wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me. I praise you that you took the punishment that I deserve so I don't need to. And I come to you and ask for your Holy Spirit to give me a heart to serve you and worship you. Amen. If that was you, then do come and see me or talk to another Christian in the next week. That would really help you. But now a prayer for all of us. Father, I'm sorry for losing sight of the unbearable wrath that Jesus has taken in my place and being distracted from serving you faithfully in every area of my life. Please refresh me and encourage me by your Holy Spirit that I would long afresh to see Jesus face to face, to long for that day when my sin will be done away with, when the battle is over, and help me to faithfully serve you until my dying day in joyful love and service of my wonderful Saviour. Amen.